Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring this month's German federal elections and considering what's at stake for Germany, for European institutions, for investors and for the wider world. Our experts will provide an overview of the impending ballot, pick apart the latest research, mull what it all might mean for markets, and gauge where we are in terms of the process and progress of German democracy. We start with Maximilian Kunkel, ultra-high net worth investment strategist at UBS Wealth Management CIO. Max, give us a sense of what's at stake as Germany heads to the polls for European institutions, for Germany itself, I guess for all the stakeholders.
All in all, what we see in Germany at least is given that most of the parties tend to agree on quite a few things, be it on the taxation side of things, infrastructure spending, as well as with regards to matters on Europe, so a common defense policy, a hardline in Brexit negotiations, strengthening of external borders, and a fair distribution of refugees across Europe. It seems that pretty much what we're going to see after the elections is a remainder of the status quo. However, and particularly when we're talking about what's at stake for Europe, it very much depends who is going to become the coalition partner of the CDU-CSU, which we would expect to garner most votes. If the FDP was going to become the coalition partner, most likely that would also increase certain pressure to become more fiscally compliant with current policies in Europe on the periphery.
And what about if we're talking about Europe in particular? Is it a mistake, I wonder, Max, in your view, to look ahead to when Mario Draghi's term comes to an end? What, in a couple of years? Because there are already questions, aren't there, about who succeeds him? And I guess what happens in Germany now maybe has an influence there. You have people, I don't know whether it's your Jens at the Bundesbank, what happens to Schäuble? I mean, is it too soon to ask that question?
It's definitely not too soon. It's definitely something that we have to look at, particularly given that if, for example, the FDP was going to become the coalition partner of the CDU-CSU, most likely they would want to go for the finance ministry. That in turn would mean that Mr. Schäuble would have to be finding a new position also, and he would only leave the finance ministry if there was an appealing option on the table for him. And there's plenty of high-stake political posts in Europe becoming available in 2018 and 19. We would, for example, think that one possibility would be for him to become the new president of the European Commission. That in turn would imply that most likely you would not see a German president of the ECB succeeding Mr. Draghi, which in turn would mean that most likely for investors, this would be a very friendly outcome. You would on the one hand see, due to the FDP owning the finance ministry in Germany and Mr. Schäuble also being the president of the European Commission, more stringent stance with regards to fiscal policies in Europe, but on the other hand, still a slower path to rate normalization than under a German ECB president.
And Maximilian, can I ask you a bit about the German finance ministry then specifically? And I guess some watchers from without Germany might say, oh, well, this is a bit of a domestic question. But I guess actually the outlook vis-a-vis the German finance ministry is very important and has broad relevance.
It absolutely does. It has broad relevance, not only because of the knock-on effect, therefore, with regards to how other institutions would fare and who would take certain posts in other institutions, but it clearly also has an implication on fiscal matters for the wider Eurozone, quite simply because of the strength of the German economy and the importance also of Germany within various different European institutions.
Well, Max, on that point about the Europe-wide story, I guess it's always interesting to look at the German elections as a bit of a microcosm or to try and extrapolate from what we see there more widely for the bloc. If we do that, what's the story here? Is it about how European integration continues to be managed as we move forward?
Absolutely. So if, for example, we were going to see a status quo effectively emerging, so meaning that, and this continues to be our base case also, a grand coalition under the chancellery of Mrs. Merkel coming out of this election, then most likely we would also see that improved France-German relations would raise the prospect of significantly more European integration after the German elections. However, with a coalition of CDU, CSU and the FDP, you might have a tougher European policy. Don't forget that here the FDP is opting, for example, for limiting further European burden sharing, wants to cut back ESM lending capacity, and proposes allowing countries to leave the EMU while remaining in the EU.
And Maximilian, you mentioned Angela Merkel there, and it would be remiss not to mention this, and this is not to preempt what happens at the votes, of course, but I already have a feeling that Merkel feels like the last leader of a particular era. I don't know. Do you get a sense of that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's clearly been a case of her maintaining that role, not only due to her stubbornness, but at the same time also due to the lack of competition or real competition that we've seen coming over the last 2 years. So would agree with that statement.
Maximilian Kunkel. We'll hear from Ricardo Garcia of UBS a little later in the programme, but now let's check in with a regular voice of authority and insight on all things Germany on Monocle 24, Sebastian Borger, Berliner Zeitung's long-serving correspondent here in London. We began by asking Sebastian, what did we learn from the recent election debate featuring Merkel and Martin Schulz?
I don't think anybody expected fireworks. You can't expect fireworks from the representatives of two parties who have worked together in government for the last 4 years. On the whole, on a pretty good basis, the Social Democrats, who only got something like 25% in the last election 4 years ago, had an equal amount of ministers in the cabinet, got quite a lot of their program through. So they can't really complain about the way Merkel has treated them. And so Schulz, of course, coming from the European Parliament, slightly an outsider, which I think was part of his appeal to the Social Democrats. But he comes across, I thought, as a fairly provincial kind of politician. He's got an rather unfortunate speech impediment, and Merkel, to my eyes, looked pretty much in charge. I mean, you talk about the latest North Korean missile test and indeed atomic bomb and hydrogen bomb tests, and she says, well, I've got to get on the phone to the Chinese president, to the Russian president. She's mutti, beyond Germany's borders, is someone who people look to solve a lot of problems in Europe and beyond. Very difficult terrain for Martin Schulz.
So have Germans been rather turned off politics altogether, perhaps, ironically, by the very stability that Angela Merkel offers?
Look around Europe, please. Look around the world, indeed. Apart from autocrats like Vladimir Putin in Russia and President Xi in China, we've got either weak or inexperienced or, to be honest, slightly wacky people in charge. Slightly or indeed deeply wacky people. Angela Merkel is, I think, whatever her faults, someone who's assessing a situation and looking at it carefully and then going ahead in line with what the people of Germany want from her, which is stability, cautiousness, trying to do the right thing, but not... I mean, dynamism isn't, unfortunately, or fortunately, looking at Germany's history in the last century, not in the DNA of the German political elite.
How's the long-term health of German democracy, given this electoral ennui, voter apathy? And I suppose, does that or does it threaten to leave the door ajar for marginal groups to profit?
The Alternative for Deutschland, who have made great hay with very unpleasant xenophobia and playing on people's anxiety after the huge influx of refugees 2 years ago. And yes, I suppose that's always particularly ugly when you hear Germans talk about Volksverräter, traitor to the people, that kind of Nazi jargon. On the other hand, I think Germany has now had, 70 years of democracy and is able to cope with is able to cope with a former communist party, which is whose fringes are pretty unpleasant, to be honest, and will get about between 8% and 10%, presumably, and should also be able to live with a right wing party. Unless, of course, that right-wing party turns into fascism, in which case I think they'll get whacked over the head.
So could you even say that democracy itself is part of the German election narrative?
Out of necessity, because, you know, the Germans look at America. I think that's a very important bit. America has, and Trump's election has focused people's minds in a way which wasn't there a year ago. Also, Brexit really gave people a shock and made people, I think, reevaluate what Germany has as a democracy and what Germany has within Europe. So, you know, it's not by any means not ideal or perfect, but I think it's pretty good when you look around the world. I always say to my friends in Germany, guys, keep it in perspective.
Sebastian Borger of Berliner Zeitung. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from our regular analyst, Ricardo Garcia, head of European macroeconomics, on what all this means for investors. Ricardo Garcia is head of European macroeconomics in the UBS Wealth Management CIO in Zurich. Ricardo, what's at stake this month?
The perception in markets is after the elections in France and in the Netherlands is that political risk has declined and a lot of observers don't see a lot of relevance in the German elections as there is no populist candidate for the chancery. However, we think that the German elections could have a big impact in the medium to long term, particularly when it comes to the appointments of future European leaders. In the next 2 years, the vast majority of presidencies will become vacant. An example is the European Central Bank. There is a talk about an acceleration in European integration, and certainly the coalition partner of the CDU, our base case is a CDU-led grand coalition, is very important as the manifestos of the parties have very different implications for European integration.
And what about the what this means for investors? It's the geopolitics, as you described there, is very interesting. What about investors? What are the headlines? What do you think people, is it a question as often post-political events that people will be seeking reassurance?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of areas of interest. One is, for example, the fiscal side, depending on the fiscal policy that will be chosen by the resulting coalition. There could be implications for the QE program next year. Recall that the quantitative easing program is facing a number of big shortages in bonds. So this is the German government bond. Therefore, the issuance next year is very important, and that varies by party or coalition partner. So this has to be observed. For ECB purposes, talking about the ECB, the other interesting angle is that in 2 years' time, Mario Draghi's term will end, and there is already talk about who could succeed him. And there is also talk that Jens Weidmann, the current president of the German Bundesbank, might have ambitions to become the next ECB president. And we have been very vocal in our publications that this depends a lot on what happens with Wolfgang Schäuble, the German finance minister, because he might also aim for a European post after the German elections, depending on how the elections go. Needless to say, if you have two Germans taking up another two European key institutions like the ECB and or, for example, the Eurozone finance minister, which has been discussed at the moment between Merkel and Macron, it will be too much. So depending on what happens in the election, we will know more whether Germany will become EC president or not. This would have or will have implications for the future of the euro, for interest rates and the Eurozone periphery.
And Ricardo, it's often tempting to look at specific electoral happenings, particularly as they regard Germany, and to extrapolate, to make broader conclusions about the bloc more widely and about, I guess, Western European democracy more widely. Would it be a mistake to look at what happens in the German elections and to try and draw Europe-wide conclusions from that?
I think the most important aspect there is the outlook for European integration, right? What's the way forward for the European Union beyond the Eurozone as well, especially against the backdrop of the UK's exit from the European Union, which is also set to take place in the same time frame. there are quite some good news, right? I mean, the backdrop is very favorable for more integration, which would mean that Europe would change beyond Germany. A number of ideas on the table right now are Eurozone Finance Ministry, turning the European Stability Mechanism into a European Monetary Fund, for example. So these are big changes. Also, a defense union is being discussed. And all of that depends a little bit also what happens in the German elections. So with that, I think we can say that European integration should accelerate in the coming years after a lull of a couple of years, no? Because in the recent years, not much has happened in that front, no?
And Ricardo, maybe just finally on the personnel here, particularly looking at Angela Merkel, she seems to have sort of endured where so many of her former sparring partners in other European countries, whether in France or even here in the UK, have gone. Do you think there is this feeling that she is the, I don't know, the last of an era? It has sort of that feeling about it. Do you think that's a fair point?
Yeah, I think it has a fair point. I mean, she is one of the longest serving German chancellors. So she's here already since the last decade when Europe, also the Eurozone, looked very, very different. There is talk already whether this will be her last legislative period or whether she would even complete that one. That's still not 100% clear. So yes, in some ways that has a point.
And that's Ricardo Garcia bringing us to the end of this 153rd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance here on Monocle 24. For more insight and analysis just like this, and to read and subscribe to UBS Research titles and publications, head to ubs.com for more. In the meantime, you can listen again and find out more at monocle.com or via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.